This is Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Today on the show, we go back in time with useless history and automobiles. That's cars. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
All right. Plus, Roy will open up the mailbag and a fan favorite, news from around the world.
Totally useless information. It's everything you never needed to know.
Today's history. What happens tomorrow is history. Yeah.
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 Ronald Reagan was a great president, was he not? He acted in numerous films, of course. What was it? Bedtime for Bonzo? Was that the movie he was in or something with a monkey?
Yeah, Academy Awards stuff.
Yeah. He was also a prolific lifeguard.
What?
He not only saved America, but he saved people's lives. In fact, he saved 77 people from drowning.
Did you know that George Washington was a horrible general? In fact, he was a terrible general. He came up in the ranks probably because he was an aristocrat or came from an aristocrat family. But he was given command of troops and he one blunder after another. I mean, guys were dying. Okay, so they really didn't want him anywhere. But at a specific battle that happened, his troops were getting destroyed and they began to run, and which would happen a lot because they were not as well-formed as the English army. So when they began to run away, and Washington said, this is it, I'm done, if I'll be the laughing stock. So he jumped on his horse. Instead of buttoning his coat, which would normally happen, he left his coat open, he jumped on his horse. He ran towards, with his horse, galloped towards the enemy who were firing at him. His coat is flailing in the wind, and the balls that they fire out of the gun aren't bullets, whatever you want to call them, are hitting his jacket and putting holes in it. The men see this and they think he's invincible because he's being shot and holes are going right through him. And of course, they turn around and they say, come on, let's help him out. Instead of running, they attack and we win the battle. And George Washington from that day forward becomes a fearless general.
That's amazing. Two great presidents in American history. There you go. So if you're about to take an exam and American history is your subject, take it from us. We just helped you on Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
Yeah, right. What kind of exam? In a hospital?
Well, yeah, exactly. In the ancient Olympics, athletes performed naked.
Yeah.
The athlete.
I play tennis that way sometimes.
That's you, right? Yeah. So how many balls are allowed on the court? The athletes did.
I don't have to worry about pockets.
Or pocket pool. The athletes did this. They performed naked to imitate the gods, but also to help easily clear toxins from their skin through sweating after each attempt at a sport.
Okay, if the Greek gods were so cool, why couldn't they invent clothing?
Because that's later on. The inventions come later on down the line in history, yeah. The word gymnastics comes from the ancient Greek word gymnasia, meaning athletic training, and gymnos, meaning naked. This translates to train naked.
Do you know, when I went to Sicily, there is a villa that they found. They had to dig this villa out. So they found the top of the villa. They start digging. It's this amazing, unbelievable villa of a very extremely wealthy Greek guy. He'd be like the Bezos of the Greeks of the time. He had this amazing palatial villa. They know it was so expensive because there were so many tile mosaics. In fact, every single room had tile mosaics. But among the mosaics were the workout room, which had mosaics of naked men working out. But not only that, the coolest thing I've ever seen, they had women in what looked like bikinis.
Oh.
They call it the bikini room because it just looks like they're wearing bikinis. Really cool, 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 cool. And so many thousands of years ago.
Was it a teensy wincy polka dot bikini?
Yes. In fact, one of them is like a polka dot bikini. But the men didn't care because they're walking around with no pockets, so to speak.
Yes.
So, you know, the Avenger comics, the comic, they're movies now, box office smash movies, the Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you know that the actual name, the Avengers, as far as for a group of superheroes, so to speak, was actually the name of the Jewish Nazi hunters group after World War II. They felt that nothing was going to happen to the German prisoners of war that were taken after World War II. So what they did is they formed a group and secretly went into these prison camps and poisoned over 2,283 German prisoners.
That's got to suck.
Okay. So it's kind of like a tit for tat type thing, but I mean, it's pretty nasty.
Yeah. You know? Well, you all know shrapnel can really hurt if you're in the middle of an explosion or something. Hmm. Well, it was invented by British.
That stuff is sharp, I'll tell you.
It is. Well, I'll tell you how sharp it is. British Army officer Henry Shrapnel was the first person to invent an anti-personnel shell that could transport a large number of bullets to its target before releasing them.
Ooh.
So shrapnel was named after its inventor, British Army officer Henry Shrapnel.
Wow. So it's not shrapnel, it's sharpnel?
Shrapnel. You know, there's a typo on this. So it's shrapnel. Right. I'm sharp. This is totally useless information with Nick and
Roy. Okay, we're not doing this again. I feel like I've been hit with shrapnel.
Audio shrapnel, yes.
Poor Nick's been hit with shrapnel in the head.
And it shows.
Okay, so Andrew Jackson had a pet parrot.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think pet parrot's name was?
Polly?
He had a pet parrot named Polly. He did. Andrew Jackson had a pet parrot named Polly. No okay. joke.
All right.
He taught Polly, and get ready to beep this out, how to say, go and f*** yourself, you piece of shit.
Wow.
You dirty dog. You. No, the parrot was horrendous. It had a foul, foul mouth. And that's all he taught it to say was these horrible curses. And so when Andrew Jackson dies, Andrew Jackson requests that Polly be at the funeral, which he was, at which point Polly starts to say, go and F yourself, you really? Son of a sea cook, dirty bastard roll. And, you know, just went crazy until they eventually have to take Polly out of the funeral because he's insulting so many guests.
Wow. Can you imagine?
That's great. I love it.
Or I can hear the parrot go into like a restaurant, you know, by himself. Polly, party of one.
Yeah. Polly, parrot, party of one.
Party of one, yes.
Polly would order a piece of pumpkin pie.
Now, Polly was a polygamist and had pumpkin pie at the pumpkin pie restaurant.
The Palladium.
At the Palladium, yes. Okay, we now have to disinfect our microphones.
And he had his feathers done up in a pompadour.
He poo-pooed over that idea. 4% of Normandy's beaches are made up of shrapnel.
That's a shrapnel thing.
That's right, it is. This is all, of course, from the D-Day landings. More than 5,000 tons of bombs were dropped by the Allies on the Axis powers as part of the prelude to the Normandy landings. Scientists have studied the sand on the beaches of Normandy, and they found microscopic bits of smoothed-down shrapnel from the landings. They estimate that within 150 years, the beach will have fully lost any remaining shrapnel to rust and erosion. So watch where you step on the beaches of Normandy.
Wow. How many tons?
5,000 tons. It's heavy metal.
5,000 tons.
Tons. That's right. Then they brought their guitars and heavy metal was born. No, that's different.
Mm, yeah. Wow. So have you ever heard of the Hungarian Countess Elizabeth Bathory, the Exed?
Can't say that I have. I have to be honest. I can't.
I wanted
say.
To be a countess. You need to have like four names. So that's what she
yeah,
did.
Yeah, count them.
Elizabeth Bathory, the Exed, was in a Hungarian countess from Liechtenstein. No, she was from Hungary. And she was a very famous countess, but she was more famous for what she became. And that is the most famous female serial killer.
Oh.
Ah, get ready for this one. What do you think? Like a serial killer kills how many people? You think it's bad?
100.
100 would be terrible, I think, right? Because, yeah, I mean, you got guys that killed like 12 people. And
yeah,
like
100 would be really bad, yeah. How many did she kill?
She killed and tortured over 650 women.
650?
This is true. Look it up, guys. Elizabeth Bathory de Exed, Hungarian countess. She's sick.
You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
This is Totally Useless Vehicle Information with Nick, Meet-Me, and Roy. Vroom, vroom.
You know that I worked for General Motors for a brief period of time.
You did.
And one of the things that I got to see was a testing of airbags, which I thought was really going to be a very boring thing to see. But they set up an airbag on this metal stand, and then they simulated a crash, and the airbag went off. And I'm going to tell you, standing there, it was amazing because I was about 25 feet away from it with safety goggles on. And this big puff of smoke from the cornstarch or powder that they put inside of it. And I mean, the explosion was, I was like, wow. I mean, I simply did not expect it. Well, there is a nitrogen charge that goes off, like a shotgun shell releases a nitrogen charge that goes off and expands the airbag, which is covered in, like I said, like a cornstarch material so it doesn't dry up. It takes less than 30 milliseconds for an airbag to deploy.
Fast.
Okay. It would take you probably 40 to 50 milliseconds to hit the steering wheel. Thus, you hit the airbag.
Nick and Roy will continue with Totally Useless Information. Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy continues. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Windshield wipers on your vehicle is really important. A windshield wiper was invented and patented by Mary Anderson in 1905.
Did she have a husband named Hans Christian?
Yes, that's her husband. Now, not only, so she invented the windshield wiper, but in 1967, Robert Kearns invented the intermittent windshield wiper.
Turn that off, Nick.
He,
what did he invent?
Intermittent windshield wiper. He designed for wipers that they pause between swipes for us so that, you know, you can use them in light rain and mist. The invention permits the driver to set the interval at which the wiper sweeps the window, etc. When the car makers eventually began offering intermittent wipers, he sued the Ford Motor Company and Chrysler, accusing them of patent infringement.
Yeah, what was that movie called? Blink of an Eye?
It was a movie made to tell that story. I don't have that information here, but in 1990, a jury decided that Ford had infringed on Mr. Kern's patent, that it concluded that the infringement had not been deliberate. Ford did contend that the patent was invalid because the windshield system contained no new concepts.
I can see the whole idea of having the slowed up intermittent windshield wiper, apparently, and again, working for General Motors, the whole idea was that it doesn't obscure your view of the road, okay? But I would say that 9 out of 10 people never ever remember how to activate the windshield wipers properly in their car. So most accidents are caused by them looking down, going, I can't get the intermittent thing off. It's just, there we go. And goes the airbag. Boom.
It's all connected.
Now yes. Pops Elizabeth Bathory, the ex-head, going, oh, it's so wonderful. They're all dead.
Yes. And Shrapnel said, that was my invention. That's me. The movie, by the way, is Flash of Genius.
Flash of Genius. Flash was it? Of Genius. I got That's it completely right. wrong. Flash yeah. of Genius. Yes. By the way, extremely boring movie. Probably could have been told in about 10 minutes. Super boring movie, but very interesting story.
But how fitting would it be, right, that it was a boring movie? It took so long for them to get to the plot.
Well, it said scene one. Scene two.
Oh, look out. Scene 3, 4, 5. 3, 4, 5, 6.
Scene 3.
Speaking of Flash of Genius, you're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
Okay, so in the mid-1960s, well, by the way, thank you for telling people. But also go to www.nickandroy.com and leave us an email, or just go to our website, because it's really cool. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of stuff. You can listen to 75 episodes or so, and even other stuff, bonus stuff that's on there. It's really cool.
Yep.
All right. In the mid-1960s, cars were delivered to people, get ready, General Motors, with an acceptable 24 defects.
Really?
Yes. This is American cars. In the 1960s, they had, on average, 24 defects, which was acceptable. Now, again, I worked for General Motors. I've seen some stuff come off the truck that was absurd, like doors hanging off, and, you know, it's really bad. But out of the 24, in most cases, 40% were safety features, meaning, you know, you pull the seatbelt and it just comes flying right out of the door.
Yeah, that's what they call it, the detachable seatbelt option.
Or you get in an accident and out from the steering wheel pops a sign that says, ha ha.
It's General Shrapnel.
Yeah, but I worked for General Motors, and an interesting story. On Fridays, they call it drunk day. Fridays at like 4:30 or so, the guys were already drinking beer underneath, like, you know, they'd hide it and drink beer. They'd pass them to each other, and they had no place to throw out the cans, so they put them in the fenders.
Oh, that's what that rattling sound is. Now you figured it out. Yeah. There you go. Right. Not only do we talk about cars on Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy, we also give you solutions on the rattling in your fenders. It's not just us.
Oh, no.
Give me an H.
H.
Okay. The key and ignition chime for Hondas are four tones in succession, which is possibly a reference to the Morse code for the letter H. Here's Morse code for the letter H. Now, this is the Honda chime when you put the keys in the ignition. That spells... Okay, all right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, the so letter H. Yeah. So that's
but
Morse
code. But if you
code.
Keep it going, it's like H, 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 like an intermittent wipe. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Nick's gone like conspiracy theory on us. Yeah, he's wearing a tinfoil hat right now.
It's spelling help, H-E-L-P.
Oh, yeah. No, really. You know, I have a Hyundai, and, you know, it plays like this really cool, and you can turn it on or off. It plays an entry song for you and an exit song.
Really?
Yeah. And it's really cool because it's like, and then at the end, when you get out after driving a Hyundai, it's like, dun, 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 dun.
Or if you get into a Volkswagen, Beethoven starts playing.
Yeah, well, seven Korean guys popped out of the trunk going, ha, ha.
Yeah, out of the Korean cars, BTS comes out.
Who's that? No, but they are quite androgynous. I dated a girl one time named Androgynous.
Yeah, it's okay. She couldn't figure you out either. It's okay. We're even.
She was a little manly, but
she had man
she had
hands.
A beard. She had a beard. You know, she was in the circus.
She had more of a 5 o'clock shadow than you did.
She had a 5 o'clock shadow at 12 in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, folks. Are you still listening? We're just having a good time. Yeah.
We hope you are, too, on Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
Okay, get ready for this one.
Yeah.
Okay. The Model T sold Ford Model T, right? One color, just as long as it was black.
Mm-hmm.
Sold 15 million cars. Now, that's a mind-boggling thing. By the way, the first ones took more than 12 hours to build a car. That's the entire factory working, taking 12 hours to build a car. That means two cars in one day. By the time Ford was running at full production, he was under 8 minutes per car.
Wow.
So that'll give you an idea of how the production line changed the industry. But 15 million cars is a staggering, staggering number. How many Volkswagen Beetles do you think they sold?
Well, I would say more, because the Germans are more precise with their operations. So I would say, you know, how long? How long did the Model T, after it was automated, how long did it take? 8 minutes?
8 minutes. I think they built a Beetle in about like a minute and a half. No,
well, I would guess four. Studio audience?
No, 20 million Beetles were made and produced and sold. Und wunderbar Liechtenstein, und the Germans made the car for the peoples of Volkswagen. No, but honestly, 20 million Beetles were sold. And I got a staggering figure for you on my next one, but go ahead.
Well, you were going to say staggering. I thought you were talking about the auto workers on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, that's staggering. Why you never buy a Friday car, I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah, but how do you know which cars are built on a Friday?
Shake it around. Take it for a test drive.
Yeah, some people kick the tires. Other people start to shake the car. If they hear some rattling in the fenders, don't buy that.
This car is supposed to have four wheels?
Oh, that's extra. That's an option.
Oh, look, Mr. Car Salesman, there's a wheel rolling in front of us.
Oh, detachable wheels. So key fobs that we use, you know, the beep, beep, that locks your cars or unlocks.
How do they go?
Beep, beep.
Mine doesn't do that.
Or if it's a Honda.
There it goes.
Beep, beep, beep. Because of the way they're programmed, if you press a key fob more than 256 times while out of range, it will cause it to stop working because it has to do with the encryption. So basically, you're hitting it 256 times out of range, so there's nothing to receive that signal, and so it just stops working.
Okay. If you stand far enough away from your car and hit a key fob 256 times, you should stop working. Because... you really need a life.
Nick and Roy will continue with Totally Useless Information. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
I said before, 20 million Beetles, right?
Yeah.
What's the world's best-selling car of all times?
Go ahead, tell us. I can't
see. Oh, come on.
I can't stand the suspension.
The world's best-selling car sold in over 150 different countries in the world is the Toyota Corolla.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It was launched in 1966. They've sold over 44 million Corollas. Mm. One is sold every 15 seconds. They sell a Corolla every 15 seconds. That's insane. Right?
11. I'm just counting the 15 here. Oh, there goes another one. There goes another one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine 44 million Corollas sold?
25, 26, hang on, 27, 28, 29.
There's a two for deal.
There's another one. Talk about exhaustion.
Boy, that was an intermittent thing.
It was, yes. Technology has come so far that nearly 80% of Formula One drivers have a coating on their exhaust pipe, which was originally designed for nuclear reactors.
Hmm. I have that on the seat of my pants.
Yes.
Just in case I eat beans or something.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to blow the pockets out. You know?
And one of the topics we do here on Total Useless Information with Nick and Roy are dreams. I dreamt I was a muffler once. I woke up the next morning exhausted.
I humor him, folks.
So if you'd like to send us an email or affidavits or lawsuits, it's nickandroy.com and send us an email.
What's in the mailbag? What's in the mail?
Martin from Dallas, Texas.
Hello,
Martin from Dallas, Texas says... And by the way, Martin, we got a load of Dallas listeners and Texas listeners.
Yep.
But Martin says, I stumbled upon your show. Must have worked for General Motors.
On a Friday, yes.
And Martin says, I stumbled upon your show, and I am amazed at how addicted I am to it. And I said, do you want more, Martin? No.
Martin was more. He wants more.
So Martin says that he got his girlfriend and a bunch of other friends into listening to the show. Oh. He says, and every single one of them is addicted to it. Not only that, they're now playing a game of using facts from our show.
There you go.
They call each other at work during the day and they say a tidbit of the fact and then if they can answer it. And a lot of them are going back and forth with these tidbits of information, which is kind of cheating because all you got to do is listen to the show, Martin. You don't have to go playing some stupid games.
Right. No.
Martin, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone, www.nickandroy.com. You leave us an email, you get on the show. People like Martin, we really do appreciate it. I can't tell you how many emails we've gotten with people saying that they've turned on their friends to the show, and we appreciate it. And if you see us on Facebook or go on Facebook, Totally Useless Information, Nick and Roy, you can also share our posts and so on and so forth. Give us a push. It helps us out. It's really cool. You know, that's why we do it. We do it for you guys, and we appreciate it very, very much.
For nobody else. We do it for you. So go to nickandroy.com and send us an email.
What's in the mail?
And now for something completely useless.
If you ever played the game of ping pong.
Yes, I've played.
The balls can travel really fast. Do your balls travel fast when you play ping pong?
It depends. If I'm at a Greek Olympics, maybe.
Or if you're playing on your own.
You don't want paddles around when you're at a Greek Olympics.
That's right, yes. No, you don't. Ouch. Well, the balls can travel off the paddle of the balls can travel. It's very much like the words coming out of my mouth.
I try to keep my balls from traveling by wearing,
that's right.
Wearing proper fitting underwear.
Which is why you'll never make it to the ancient Greek Olympics. If ping pong balls can travel off the paddle at speeds of 160 kilometers an hour, that's just under 100 miles per hour.
So you hit a ping pong ball, it travels 100 miles per hour.
That's correct.
Ever see the Chinese guys play ping pong? They can't even see the ball.
No, not at all.
But then again, their balls must be very small. I've heard that.
Yeah.
The Chinese.
Yeah, they are.
And why they like ping pong, because the ball is very small.
Yeah.
They're hitting it with the paddle.
And you
they
know
like what? Doing that too multiple times. They're like, pop, pop, pop. They hit it with the paddle.
One more time, baby. Yeah. And a half hour later, you felt like playing another game.
I went for a massage one time at a place, and the woman came out with a paddle, and I got scared.
Yeah. Hey, what would you call a pig that goes to one of those massage parlors?
What?
Pulled pork. All right, so you're listening to Totally
Useless. That is disgusting.
Totally. Yeah,
please make believe you didn't hear that. And if it's Martin is out there, please don't use that as one of your fun
he'll
facts.
He'll be addicted to the two jokes between the muffler one and that one, man. That's gold.
Oh, my God. These poor people in Texas think that I'm going to Chinese massage parlors and getting beat with paddles and watching balls flying around.
That's right. On a Friday afternoon at the General Motors plant. By the way, General Motors are fine cars. They're fabulous cars. Get one today at your local.
The Totally Useless Information Show brought to you by General Motors. That brings you 24 defects on a car.
Hey, never mind the guy down the block. He's got 28 defects. We have less defects for your car.
Visit. We got a special for you. We got a Friday car. Comes with a car and a six-pack.
Yes, you can work on your abs at the same time.
What's in the mailbag? What's in the mail? Elizabeth
went to nickandroy.com and sent us an email. She's from Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Dear Nick and Roy, our family loves your show. We literally gather around our tablet and listen to your show every Thursday, which is the day that we release the show. So thank you. We were wondering, because since you both of you are scholars of useless information.
Oh, my God.
Scholars of useless information. What does GMT stand for when it comes to time? Well, Elizabeth, first of all, don't you ever, ever call us scholars again. But then again, it is of useless information, so thank you. Elizabeth, GMT scholars. That's a good word, scholars of useless information. GMT stands for Greenwich Mean Time, the local clock time at Greenwich. It wasn't until the invention of the pendulum clock in the 1650s that it was possible to work out the relationship between the mean clock time and solar time. John Flamsteed came up with the formula for converting solar time to mean time and published a set of conversion tables in the early 1670s. Soon after, he was appointed as the first astronomer royal and moved into the new Royal Observatory in Greenwich. There you go. It's because of the pendulum clock, and he converted it from solar time to mean time. In the meantime.
Right. And now she also learned that it's only 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4.09 seconds.
Yes. And in the meantime, if you'd like to send us an email, you go to see what I did there. You go to nickandroy.com.
What's in the mail?
That's why I'm the scholar on nickandroy.com is where you check us out.
Welcome to the Totally Useless Information Fashion Show.
Here's our quickie. The first hoop skirt.
That's the story of your life.
Yeah. We've changed the definition of a quickie. The first hoop skirt ever worn, Queen Juana from Portugal. She wore the first ever hoop skirt in a bid to hide the fact that she was pregnant. Dun, dun, dun.
Yep. I actually saw that. When I was doing research,
yeah.
And I was going to grab that one, and I didn't.
See.
Because she was pregnant already. So why did Prince the singer love purple? Well, because it was the color historically worn by only emperors, aristocracy, and magistrates. Okay, again with the big words. I'm really knocking it out of the park.
Man. Yeah,
I would think I'm flying, Nick. No, okay. So the emperors, aristocracy, and magistrates wore purple. So being a prince, I guess he figured I would wear purple. And that's, again, I think it's just a subliminal thing because of the color purple.
Yeah, there you go. Well, there you go. Prince had some great music, too.
Nick and Roy will continue with Totally Useless Information. To access the full library of episodes, visit nickandroy.com. That's nickandroy.com. We're back with Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Edward Jones might have been the first celebrity stalker. He got caught trying to steal Queen Victoria's underwear 4 times. Edward Jones' life was no fairy tale, and he was caught with the monarch's clothing down his trousers, no less. Dr. Jan Bondenson, a senior lecturer at Cardiff University, spent 5 years researching his subject. He said Edward Jones was a very weird character, you think, and apart from Queen Victoria, he was never interested in women. He was extremely ugly, with a wide mouth and a low brow, and he never washed, which is why people thought he was a chimney sweep. He took the Queen's underwear the first time, and then the third time, he stole food from the kitchen, and twice he was caught sitting on the throne. Doesn't indicate which one. Instead of being thrown in prison, he was sent to live in a penal colony in Australia.
The old penal colony.
That's right, yes. Where they have
what was his name?
His name was Edward Jones.
In 1950, the average American spent 11.5% of their annual income on clothing. 11.5%. Nowadays, we only spend 3.5%. Okay? Now, so most of the things go up. Price of cars, price of food, so on and so forth. But in general, our clothing expenses is almost a third of what it was in 1950. So let's say thank you to the Chinese for cheaper clothing and nasty viruses.
No, that's not true. The virus was a knockoff. It wasn't the real thing. This is
this, Louis Vuitton.
Yes, this is just plain goofy. Up until 2001, Disney employees were not allowed to wear their own underwear under their costumes.
Mm.
They had to share Disney.
Were they part of a sniffer there?
Yeah, Edward Jones did not work for Disney. They had to share Disney-issued undergarments. So what were they, Mickey Mouse? Like, here are grown people wearing Mickey Mouse underwear. But after several employees complained, and they complained because they got pubic lice...
and reported
stained undies, the company changed their policy.
Oh no, especially being that they didn't make those Disney underwear in anything but youth sizes, so for someone like me that would be really heartbreaking to put them on. It'd be like a nasty Speedo.
Well, we talked about cars, we insulted many people, and we talked about history. It's time for the news.
And now, from around the corner and around the world.
TUI News.
A man in Florida is accused of shooting another man who threw part of a banana at his truck during a road rage incident, according to police. Robert Lewis
shot the guy. Say it one more time.
A man is accused of shooting another man who threw part of a banana at his truck during a road rage incident, according to police. Robert Lewis and Peter Sala Jr. allegedly got into an argument while driving down U.S. Highway 19. Following the argument, Sala Jr. reportedly drove past Lewis and threw the banana at the side of Lewis's truck.
Did he have two ping pong balls attached to it?
Did he have what?
That would have been two ping pong balls attached to it. That would have been highly insulting.
That's
been
right.
Like, yeah, take this. At 100 miles an hour.
So Lewis, who was sitting in his truck, was allegedly armed with a handgun.
Shot
at Sala Jr.
Was the banana peeled or was it whole? Was it frozen? I don't know.
What I don't understand is it's allegedly armed with a handgun. Well, what did he shoot him with if he shot at him?
Maybe the banana. He grabbed the banana.
That's right. And a banana split.
Don't you point that load of banana at me.
That's right. So the bullet shattered the right front passenger window. Sala Jr. suffered a small non-life-threatening laceration to his leg. It was not from the bullet, from a piece of glass fragment
from the banana.
That struck him. No, not the banana.
He had a laceration on the side of his buttocks from the banana.
That's right. Laceration on his leg from the broken glass.
Now that would piss me off if a guy pulled a banana out of his buttocks and threw it at me. I wouldn't stand for that. I'd shoot him, too.
Lewis was arrested and is facing charges for shooting this is what he was arrested for. He was charged with shooting a deadly missile into...
Let me tell you something. I eat beans. I don't even need to throw it. I just feel like...
He was charged with shooting a deadly missile into an occupied vehicle and criminal mischief.
Is this the guy with the gun or the banana? Which one was charged?
Lewis, hold on.
Guy with the gun, right?
Right, that's right. Yeah, that's right, because he shot.
They said the guy with the banana was probably charged for releasing deadly shrapnel, banana shrapnel.
That was the problem. Lewis was arrested, facing charges. He is booked into the Pinellas County Jail on the $12,000.
Pinellas County. Sounds about right.
That's right. Hello, people who are listening in Florida for the time being. He was held on a $12,000 bond. And according to...
$12,000. Look, folks, let me explain something to you. Florida is the most great... It's the most amazing place in the world.
That's where Roy lives, yes.
People come here from all over the place. They come here from New York, okay?
Right.
Our news program is like... Welcome to the evening news. Today, a man was arrested for allegedly dropping a bubble gum wrapper on the street. Okay, in New York, it's like, welcome to the evening news. 84 people were murdered in the streets today.
Yes. Fighting
our news is ridiculous. Man throws banana.
Yes. Right. But according to court documents, he's going to appeal it.
Of course he's going to appeal it, because the judge is going to be like, listen, you're going to jail for 1 month for monkeying around.
Now get out of my courtroom and split.
You know, don't make me peel off another sentence.
That's right. So if you have a news item you like from around the world that you'd like for us to feature, simply go to our website, nickandroy.com.
Well, Nick, do you know when you grow bananas, because I live here in Florida, do you know that when you grow bananas, you get this one big bushel of bananas, and then you have to cut that whole section of the I guess it's a banana tree, but
right.
Could be a bush, but, you know, I mean, it's pretty tall. But you literally have to cut the whole thing down to the ground.
And you do. And so if you know how to cut down bananas, let us know.
But listen, let me just say something to people, too. So please take that as a word of advice, okay? If you're going to throw a banana at a moving vehicle, just remember that it took an entire plant to grow that banana. The guy shot him for a banana. This stuff happens in Florida. We all have guns. Everybody has guns.
Yeah.
We give our kids guns to go to, like... daycare.
Yes.
Like, did you take your bottle and your binky and your gun?
And your six shooter. Yeah, and your six shooter. Well, unfortunately or fortunately for...
You can tell Nick doesn't have a gun. He's like a six shooter. Yeah. Like he's back in the Wild West. I'm going to hit him with a banana.
Listen, I live, that's all the time we have for this episode of Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. We will scour the internet far and wide to find more useless information for you guys.
So until then, you go to nickandroy.com. Let me say that one more time. Nickandroy.com. Leave us, if you hate the show, tell us. Tell us you hate the show. We're probably going to just hit that garbage pail button, but whatever. Yeah.
Tell us you hate the show. We'll come and find you and throw bananas at you.
Yeah, but go to nickandroy.com. Tell us what you think. Share the show with everybody. Tell a friend about the trend.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy is a production of nickandroy.com. Visit nickandroy.com to access the full library of episodes or wherever you get your podcasts.